accession number 18746, reel 3.
This reel 3. What was the feeding like in Korea?
Well, we had these sea rations. You had three tins of meat and beans, three tins of fruit, 2 packets of cigarettes, and 2 toilet rolls, and a packet of cereal. Not a lot in the tin of cereal. And we used to have a little tin with a bit of dirt in it and some petrol where we could warm our tins up, warm our meals up. But when we got up near the Manchurian border, then it was too cold to do it. In other words, you couldn't do it because enemy would see the smoke. So you had to open the tin and break the ice off the top and eat it cold. Meat and beans, frankfurters and beans, chicken and vegetables, ground meat and spaghetti, meatballs and spaghetti, tin of fruit cocktail, tin of pears, or what was the other one? Tin of jelly, but it was, what would you say, like a sweet, something like a Turkish delight, but it was a very hard jelly, and that was the other dessert.
Did you like them?
Yeah, wasn't too bad really. When you had to break the ice off the top to eat it, when you wasn't allowed to cook anything or warm it up, like if you was at a position and you wasn't there long, you haven't got time to do it. Right, eat it as it comes out, and you had to break the ice off the, open the tin and then break the ice off the top and eat it cold. And that's a wonder you didn't have pneumonia, but we used to, you know, grin and bear it and put up with it, see?
Were you ever hungry when you were in Korea?
Yeah, always hungry, you know, because these little tins were only about big as a tin of milk. Sea rations, yeah. And you serve them every day, but one day there, supply truck got ambushed by Chinese, and we didn't have no food, so we went hunting in the woods and the forest for anything that moved. And oh dear, honest, you ate everything, rabbits. And then we had to wait until our supplies come up again before we had any more rations.
What type of animals did you catch?
Oh, rabbits. Anything that moves, squirrels, you know.
Did you cook them?
Yeah. You put a stick for them, like, you know, and then turn them over. That's when we got in the woods where they couldn't see the smoke in there, because we used to dig a hole in the ground and then put a bar across and then do your roasting like that.
Why didn't you boil it?
Well, we couldn't get any water, see? You had water in your water bottles, but you had to have that for drinking purposes. And then one day we did go down to a river and got a filled a mess tin up with water, brought it up, and then you have to put purifying tablets in to purify it and strain it, because you had a lot of creepy crawlies in there. And you waited till the water had been sifted through your handkerchief or a bit of linen before you was allowed to drink it or boil it up. And then once it was boiled, you could drink it then, or do your cooking with it.
Did you ever get thirsty?
Yeah, no. But they taught us that while we was in Hong Kong, the heat there, because that was about 110, 120 in the degrees in the shade, always have a pebble in your pocket, so if you're thirsty any time, put it in your mouth and suck it, and that'll keep your mouth moist. So that's what we used to do if you couldn't get any water.
Did you ever have alcohol?
We used to, now and again we used to get it, used to come in, used to get it mostly off the Americans. They used to say, you got any beer, Yank? Yeah, I have a box of these, and he'd give you about 24 cans of beer. They had it all the time, see, but we didn't. So, I went round one day and I said, you got any beer? I said, Yank? He said, yeah, they are. Have a box of these. And I used to go back and all my mates, one each, we used to sit there drinking it. But after we got organised out there a little bit, then we used to have our own beer brought out to us, but it was all in cans. And you put three or four in your pocket, in your pack. Like one day out there, I forget which regiment it was, talking about cigarettes. So this kiddie, he had about 400 cigarettes all stacked in his pack. The mess tins, you used to go, two mess tins in there like that. And they were all stacked out with cigarettes. He had about 400 of them. All stacked all down the side, and he loved his face. And then we had a banzai charge one day. Well, there was a banzai charge, and he got caught with a machine gun, and it split all his pack open, and all his fags, and that saved his life. And I think that pack is in the War Museum in London. I don't know. I don't know if it's the King's Own Scottish Borderers, or whether it's the Argyll and Sutherland Highlanders, or someone from the Middlesex Regiment. But I know that saved his life by putting all them cigarettes in there. And this is another thing why I like to go up to the museum and see if I can find it, or whether it's put in their regimental museum.
Did you smoke yourself in Korea?
Yeah, I smoke about a packet, because you used to have the Yankee packet, see? Philip Morris, Camel, Lucky Strike. I smoke about 10 a day then.
What did you think of the Americans?
They weren't bad, but a lot of them were mostly all ex Second World War veterans. They was really hard. They were men, We used to get on with them all right. And we was out on patrol with some Yanks, some Americans one day. And we was out on this patrol. We was going down the road and they turned around and says, oh, we stopped for a break now, they said. I said, what? I said, the enemy's only up the road about a couple of miles. Oh, we're going to stop for a coffee. Make coffee on the side of the road. They didn't care for anybody, see? So we stopped with them. And we had our coffee and then we marched on again. And we used to get on the right with Americans out there.
What did you think they should have done?
Well, I reckon they should have forgotten about the coffee and carried on, sort them out and then have it. But their coffee, ice cream, and their beer. They used to take all that with them into battle. Or they had a machine that done their ice cream, About a good crowd of blokes they were, because they had everything there. Oh dear.
Any other nationalities you came across?
Oh, New Zealanders, Americans, Australians, Canadians, New Zealanders, South Africans, Indian, the Turks, they were good fighters, they were Turks, what was the other one? That's it, that's all I can remember at the time.
What did you think to these other nationalities?
That was all right. You used to get the Turks, so they used to go into battle, and they used to go in, do their job, come out, clean their weapons, and you think they hadn't been in battle. And then one day I said, "You haven't been fighting." I said, "Oh yes, we have. We fight. We're good fighters." I said, "Your weapons, you know." I said, "They're not dirty." I said. You know, and they said, "Oh, we clean them." I said, "No, I'm not having that." I said, and I called our sergeant over, and he comes over, and he said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Look," I said, "they've just been in the battle." I said, "They're clean." "Yeah," he says. So he went to see their officer, and their officer said, "Whenever we go into battle, we kill, we go back, we clean up all our weapons, ready for the next time." And that was it. They were good fighters, they were.
But didn't you do the same thing?
No, well, we did, you know, if we had time, though. You get back, give your rifle a good clean, after you've been firing a lot of times, because if you didn't, then your barrel would go rusty. And so we used to clean up, showing up and having an inspection, and that was it.
Did you see much of the plight of the Korean civilians?
Well, a lot of them were frightened, you know, and they didn't have any food or anything like that. And then an old lady come up to me one day and a couple of kids, and I thought, "I ain't having this again." And I looked at her and I walked all around, you know, she said, "Food, see?"
Putting that. Fingers to her mouth.
Yeah, so I was good and she said, she said, "Thank you," know. And the people themselves like that, they was all right. And then we got into another village there one day and I wanted a bloody bath. I stunk on it because you couldn't have one, see, being on the move. And got in there and she got this big bowl for me, full up with hot water. She says, you wash. And as I was having a bath, she was out there cleaning, washing all my clothes for me. So that was pretty friendly. See, they was forced to do things they didn't want to do. A lot of them, see, they used to push, like, young kids into the army out there, the North Koreans and that. And you used to see quite a lot of them, young kids, about 14, 15, 16. And you couldn't kill them, you know. And they were frightened and we used to take them prisoner.
How did you treat the prisoners?
All right, we used to treat them all right, you know. And they was pleased because they had food and fags as well. Which them, in their kit, they used to have a bandolier of rice. And that bandolier of rice, that would last them so many days. And then they used to have these sweets. In there, and them sweets, it wasn't proved, but we think them sweets were doped. And their cigarettes had a funny taste to them, so I tasted one Monday, and I think they was doped, just to get them into the mood for fighting, you know.
How do you feel now about having served in Korea?
You know, I thought so at the time, now, like, I thought so, well, I done my time in the army, 18 months, and then we went to Korea. As I said, the Glossers came out and they got knocked out nearly. They put extra 6 months on our time, so we, instead of doing the 18 months, we'd done 2 years. So I come out of there, when I got demobbed, you had to do 7.5 years. TA service, because that was your reserve time. And done that, and it's finished, you know. And then about a year ago, there was an advertisement in the paper the Korean Veterans Association. They were starting one up in Swindon, and all those interested, will you please come down to the Navy Club? So I went down there, and we got our own group together. I thought, we've got about 50 in there up to now. And then the Navy, Royal Navy Association Social Club, they let us have a room up there once a month. But now we got another room at the TA Centre, second Tuesday of every month. So we all meet up there and chat over old times and a few beers, you know.
Did the enemy ever use aeroplanes against you in Korea?
Yeah, Russian MiGs.
How much damage did they do?
Well, he should come down there, he should try and... Quite a bit of damage they done. He's come down, shoot up all the lorries and that, you know, bring our supplies in. And, but they couldn't outfox the American Sabre jets. And we had British jets out there, Gloucester Meteors, is that? Yeah, they was there. They was out there for a while. And then the American Sabre jets took over after that. And they nicknamed them Shooting Stars because they were so fast. And they just come down and, you know, on the enemy light. And, there's a dogfight one day between the Russian MiG, because the Russians used to supply the Chinese and the North Koreans for all Russian-made weapons, see? And this plane come over one day, and he was fighting, doing having a dog fight in the air with this American Sabre jet. And this Sabre jet just went up like that, and come straight down on it and blew it up in the air. But they weren't very good, you know, their Russian MiGs. They weren't very good at flying them. Anymore, yeah.
Did you ever get any compensation for the injuries from the frostbite?
No, because when I went up to the hospital, it took about 3 years, and I had to go to my GP here. He sent me to the hospital, and then the hospital took tests, and they had a look, and they even checked up. And when I was in hospital in Japan in 1950, and they said, yes, you was right, you were in Japan. I said, oh, no, I was. So I had to go to another hospital up in London. And I had tests there, and they said, yes, we can see you, all your toenails are all out of shape. I said, well, that's what the frostbite done. I said, that, let's take them out. And I said, oh, do you get any suffering with it now? I said, yes. I said, it's always in the wintertime, my feet seem to freeze. And I said, I'm trying to put in for a compensation claim. And then I had to go back to my local hospital for another test. And they had a look. Oh, he said, you've got an ingrowing toenail. I said, that must have been with a frostbite. No, he said, frostbite wouldn't do that. So that lost me a pension. So they said, we send this report off and we'll see how it goes. And then about a couple of months after that, I had this letter come from the army, and they turned around and said that being that I had an ingrowing toenail, I couldn't claim a pension, but they would give me a good gratuity of £1,600. So I settled for that.
When did you get that?
About 2 years ago now.
About 1997?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.